So we're holding just a couple of days before Shavuos, and unfortunately I will not be able to be here for Shavuos, so I figured let me just leave with a quick thought about one of the minhagim that I think most shuls in the world have on Shavuos, and that is the laning of akdamos. You know, on the first day of Shavuos, for those of us who are not sleeping in the middle of laning, which is often the case, we lane akdamos. I'm not sure, I'm curious, what is the minhag of the white shul? When do they say akdamos? Before the person makes the bracha? Do they say it after the first pasuk? Anyone know? Before. Okay, so let's get into that. Let's discuss the issues in Akdamas. Let's discuss the nusav of Akdamas, and we'll see a fascinating story as well about how Akdamas came to be. It's one of the I must say one of the strangest stories I've ever heard. So we'll start like this. You'll see what I'm talking about when you hear it. It's pretty strange. So Akdamas was written by one of the Rishonim by the name of Rav Meir Rav Yitzchak Shliach Tzibur. His last name was Shliach Tzibur because he was the Shliach Tzibur in the town of Worms, Vermeisen. He is, for those of us who have never heard of him, which I assume is everybody, including myself, so who is this Rav Meir Rav Yitzchak, one of the Rishonim? So Rashi on, evidently Rashi on his Pirush on Tanakh, quotes Rav Meir Rav Yitzchak a whole bunch of times, and he gives him these tremendous titles, and he talks about him like he was this big chassid, a big tzaddik, a big lamdin. Everybody knew about this Rav Meir Rav Yitzchak, even though we don't really have much from him, and we have never really heard so much about him. But he is the one who was the Mechaber of Akdamas. The first person who brings the minhag of saying Akdamas is the Ma'aril, who we know is the basis of most of the minhagim that the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch are based off the Ma'aril, Minhagi Ashkenaz. He was the one who recorded most of the Ashkenazish minhagim, and this is where the Ramah quotes the minhag of Akdamas from. So, what is Akdamas? Number one, there's three different parts to Akdamas. Number one, Akdamas discusses, the beginning of it discusses, taking Rishus from the Ribbono Shel Olam to say Shvach. Really, we have no right to say extra Shvach to the Ribbono Shel Olam than what we were originally asked to say by the Anshei Knas HaGdola, because as the Gemara says, anytime we add any Shvach to somebody, so we're going to be taking away, because it's very difficult for us to actually capture the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore by us asking Rishus, so we're asking for permission to engage in the activity of saying Shvach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Number two, we speak about the Shvach of the Borei Olam. Obviously, now that we ask Rishus, we then go on to speak about how amazing and incredible the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And number three, we talk about the Yichud of Klal Yisrael. We say about how amazing Klal Yisrael is and in their special relationship that they have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we discuss in part three of Akdamas. That third part discusses also that we have a Milo which makes us even more special than the Malachi Asharis. We generally think that Malachi Asharis are in a certain level, and we are one level below them, at least, if not many, many levels below them. So in the Akdamas, for those of us who might want to read the English this year, it's interesting that in the end it discusses how amazing Klal Yisrael is, and not only that, they have more power than the Malachim themselves. Interesting. It's an interesting thing. I know my father always likes to say over that after his first year teaching in YU, so he said he was so busy all day preparing shiur, then at night he was answering questions for all the boys. He couldn't learn anything. He couldn't stand it. You know, he was just going nuts from all the preparation, all the answering questions and dealing with everybody. He couldn't take it. So Rav Gifter's son married my mother's sister. So Rav Gifter used to spend a lot of Yom Tovim by my grandparents with the Mechutin. So my father got to know Rav Gifter very well through that. So after the first year, so they were together on Pesach. So Rav Gifter asked my father, "Nu, how's the first year being a Rebbe? What do you say?" So he said, "I'm quitting. That's it. I'm done. I couldn't take it." So he said, "What do you mean? What happens?" He said, "The whole morning I was preparing. I had to stay up all night preparing what I didn't finish in the morning. And then all the guys were asking questions. I couldn't take it. It was crazy." So Rav Gifter said, "Nope. What's the issue? That you couldn't learn? Well, what's the problem?" So he said, "Yeah, I had no time for my own learning. I couldn't take it." So Rav Gifter told him a beautiful pshat, which I later found in the Hafla. The Hafla writes the same thing, that the Gemara says in Tainus that a person has to choose a Rebbe for himself. This has nothing to do with Akdamas. We'll get back to it in a second. It's just anecdotal, interesting. So the Gemara says that when a person is choosing a Rebbe for himself, he has to choose someone who's Domer L'Malach Hashem Tzivakus. So all the Mefarshim are trying to explain what exactly does it mean that a person should choose a Rebbe like a Malach Hashem Tzivakus. What exactly is the meaning of that statement? So everyone says their own pshat. So the Hafla says a pshat, which Rav Gifter said over to my father, that the psukim discuss what is the essence of a malach and what is the essence of a human being. What's the difference between them? So the psukim in Tanakh tell us that a malach is sarafim omdim imalo, right? A saraf, a malach, is an omid. He has one job, he has one tafkid, and that's it. He doesn't move in his life. He stays exactly where he is. And that's it. He was given one mission. The Ribbono Shel Olam asked him to do something in this world. Once he passes that test and he finishes it, so his job is over. His life is over. There's no reason for this malach anymore. B'nei Adam are mahalchim. V'nasati mahalchim ein olam d'ma'ela. Right? We know that B'nei Adam are called mahalchim. They're people who move. We can't stay stagnant. Either we're going up or we're going down in our madrega. We're not staying the same. It's impossible. So that's what Rav Gifter explained, and the Hafla writes the same thing, that when a person is choosing a Rebbe, he has to make sure to choose a Rebbe who's ready to be like a malach, which means he has to give up on his own ideas of what he wanted to accomplish in his life. He has to give up on all his own gaiva. He has to give up on all his own time. And he has to realize that he was put in this world to make one tafkin and to do one thing. And if he's going to be only vested in his personal interest, if he wants to be a ben adam who's a mahalach, who's just walking and who's figuring out things on his own and who's going to try to improve himself instead of trying to impress upon others, so that is not the proper type of Rebbe. So that's an interesting thing. There are times when we're asked to be like Malachim and not like Bnei Adam, but the implication of what the Hafla really says is that a person really has potential to go above and beyond what a Malach can do, which is what the Akdamas read as well, that a person has a potential to become more Kaddish or less Kaddish. A Malach was created and stays the same the whole time. So, with that in mind, so that is basically the synopsis of what Akdamas really means. If we'll notice, Akdamas is written in Aramaic. So that's a famous question in the Mefarshim, exactly why was Akdamas written in Aramaic? We have most of the davening is written in Hebrew. So what's the story with Akdamas? So many say that it's based on Tosis and Brachos on Daf Gimel, where Tosis says, what in the world is the story with Kaddish? We know that Kaddish is something we say a couple of times a day, and Kaddish was also written in Aramaic. Why don't we have Kaddish like Ashrei? Why was Kaddish written in Aramaic? So Tosis says, I'll tell you the answer. Tosis says that the reason why is that since Kaddish, we know the Gemara tells us when we say Amin Yehi Shmei Rabba, that's considered one of the greatest things in the world. So we're concerned that if we say Kaddish in a language that the Malachim will understand, so they're going to make a kitrug on us in Shamayim. Because the Malachim realize what the human beings are involved in when they say Kaddish. And we're concerned we don't want the Malachim to understand. So Tosis says, therefore, we decide to say it in Aramaic so that the Malachim shouldn't understand. Does anyone find this strange? Well, Tosis himself finds it strange. So you're in good company. Tosis says, I don't understand. Tosis has a few kashas. Number one, he says, we find many other beautiful tefillos which we know are said in Hebrew. So all of a sudden, Kaddish we consider to be above and beyond anything else, and Kaddish is going to be the thing that's going to knock the Malachim over and make them be Matal Kinabi Yisrael. That's what's going to make them say bad things about Klal Yisrael, make a kitrug, hard to understand. And therefore Tosis says that the reason why he feels that Kaddish was written in Aramaic was because that they used to say the Kaddish after a drasha. We know that we say Kaddish after we learn B'tzibur. And Tosis says, who used to show up to the drasha? It wasn't just the Talmid Chacham who wanted to learn. The whole community had some Kavadat Torah, and they came to all the drashas whether or not they understood. The Amaratzim came also. So he says, we wanted to institute the Kaddish in order that even the Amaratzim who came to the shir should understand. During davening, the Amaratzim obviously didn't come, so we don't have to make sure to make davening in a way that they'll understand. But when we're talking about Kaddish, so that's something that everyone used to come out to listen to, so therefore, Tosha says that's why they made sure to have it in a language that everyone would understand. So, what's the story with Akdamas? You know, the people who stay up all night and who are coming to Shul on Shavuos morning are generally the people who are not Amaratzim. They're the people who are understanding what they're talking about. So that will not be a sufficient answer, according to Tosfos, that the reason why we say Kaddish and Aramis in Aramaic is because we're concerned for the Amaratzim who are in the Shul. So we are left with a little bit of a question exactly why we say Akdamas in Aramaic. Tosis in his first Eretz made a strange assumption as well, that the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. That's what Tosis said in his first answer, which is very strange, because Tosis in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis and Mabez points out that if we know that the Malachim understand even what's Masha B'Lev Kaladim, if they really understand what everyone's thinking, they know what everyone's feeling, so how can you say they don't understand when I talk in Aramaic? A little hard to believe. So Tosis says he doesn't really think it's true, and it's not really going to hold out. I know that it's interesting, the Tur writes in our Chaim, Siman Tav Resh Yud Tes, when he's talking about Baruch Shem, so he says, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Vayed out loud on Yom Kippur, but during the year we say it quietly. Why? So Tosis says, the Torah quotes some Rishonim that the reason why we say Baruch Shem quietly the rest of the year is because really Moshe Rabbeinu stole this tefillah when he was up in Shamayim for the 40 days, 40 nights. He stole the tefillah from the Malachim, came and brought it back to the earth. So we're concerned that the Malachim shouldn't hear us and get angry why we stole something from them and we're doing what they're supposed to do. So therefore, I'm not making this up. This is the Tur, Tav Resh Yud Tes. He's quoting the Rishonim. It's interesting. So he says, this is why we say Baruch Shem out quietly every day, because we don't want the Malachim to hear us. So it's a little bit strange. Rabbi Yosef writes in the Chavidas that he finds it a little hard to understand. If we know that when a person davens biyachidus, he davens Shemona Esrei quietly, and we know that when he's davening biyachidus, he needs the malachim to help him bring the tefillas up to Shemayim. So you're going to tell me when he davens quietly, the malachim don't hear? They can't hear? So it's the same type of kasha that Tosis has over here in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis. What are you going to tell me? When he daven in Aramaic, malachim don't understand? If they even know what's in your mind, what's in your heart, so how can you say they don't hear, they don't understand? It's a little hard to understand. So back to the question, what's the story over here? Why is it that Akdamas is in Aramaic? So it's interesting that the Rush writes in Parakai Yukare, in Brachos, he says that, of course the Malachim understand all the languages. Of course the Malachim understand Aramaic as well. But he says, when the Malachim hear a tefillah being said in Aramaic, they choose not to pay attention. Why? Because you have the chutzpah to talk Aramaic to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aramaic is the language of the land. Aramaic is what you speak to your friend in that type of language. You speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lashon HaKodesh, so therefore the Malachim choose not to listen to something that's said in Aramaic. So that's what the Rosh writes in Parakai Yikore. It's quoted in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch as well, this shot from the Rosh. And that's why Kaddish is said in Aramaic, because it's such a Hail Gezach. So therefore we don't want the Malachim to listen. And the Malachim do not listen when someone is saying a tefillah in Aramaic. The Ravid in the Tmim Deim takes it a step further. The Ravid even says that if a person speaks in the vernacular from any particular country that he lives in, not just Aramaic, the Malachim choose not to listen. Why? Because you're going to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam in English. This is the way you talk to your friends. It's not right to use that same vernacular when you're speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's an interesting shot. What do you mean? Oh, so no, Lashon HaKodesh, we assume the Rishonim will say Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon HaKodesh. That's
the whole svar is that you can't right. speak a different language.
Yeah, so you have to be careful when you're in Eretz Yisrael, how you speak to people, right? So otherwise it's going to be a problem. So it's interesting that in history, in the recordings of the Minhagim of Worms, of Ermeiza, where this Rameir Reb Yitzchak lived, so they write that it's possible that the reason why he chose to say in Aramaic was because he was concerned that the Goyim should not understand the tefillah. Why? Because this tefillah was something that speaks a lot about the Shvach of Klal Yisrael, says about the Yichud and the special uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, so therefore he didn't want them to understand it, and for some reason they would understand Hebrew, but they wouldn't be able to understand and translate the Aramaic. So that's why he wrote in Aramaic. That's what they say. It's interesting that if you look in the Minhagim Vermeiza, if you look in the Minhagim that are recorded from Worms, from this town, they write that he was concerned about the Goyim that lived in the neighborhood, and they stopped saying Akdamos in his own community after a couple of years. Mepnei Pachad HaGoyim, that's what they write. So that's probably a very good suggestion to explain why. The Taz in Siman Taf Tzadik Dal raises a different issue, that many Kehilas have the minhag to say Akdamos right after they lay in the first parak, the first pasuk in the laning for the first morning of Shavuos. So it's very strange. The Taz says, what do you mean? We find the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Mem Vav that you're not even allowed to be mopsik for anything in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So all of a sudden you're going to start saying Akdamas in the middle. It's very strange. So that's what the Chassam Sefer writes over there in Siman Taf Tzadik Dalet, and many of the Achronim agree with him that the minig really is a mistake. The minig should be that we should say Akdamas before the Olal HaTorah says the first bracha. And that's what many shuls have. My father told me that in Breuers they still have the minig to say it after the first pasuk, like the good old minig, the way it was recorded for many, many generations. So here's the very strange story. Rameir Rabbi Yitzchak was the Rishon who made up this piyut. So what's the story with the piyut? So the Pasa Shulchan and the Eliyahu Rabba. Eliyahu Rabba is a pretty credible source. So they both quote the same story. Very slight differences in the versions, but the story is totally insane, if you ask me. The story goes that basically there was a priest in the city of Worms, a Christian priest, who used to study a lot of witchcraft, a lot of magic. He was very involved in the Chachmas Kishuf. And he had a whole group who used to follow him and who used to also study with him all these magical powers. So he used to teach a lot of people. So there was one Jew in the town of Worms who was very interested in finding out what exactly was the story with the study group. And he decided he's going to join them. He's going to start learning magical powers as well. Okay, so he went. And he's going through the course. And as he's going through it, he one day becomes such an expert at magic, I don't know after how long, that he sees in front of him, I mean the way they explain this in great detail, it's very interesting, they say that he sees in front of him Shadim flying around, he sees all these crazy wild things flying in the air, he doesn't know what to do with himself, and he's so frightened, he thinks that he's going to be overtaken by all these Ruchas, he screams out loud, Shema Yisrael, Shema Lakena, Shema Chad, to save himself. So the priest is so offended that someone in his magical study group is going to go and say Shema Yisrael, he hit him or something, and with that he infused him with some ruach ra, and he killed him. And the priest was so angry at all the Jews, he went around, and that day he killed 663 Jews. That's what it says. He went around killing them because he was so angry at this one Jew who pulled a stint on him. Okay, so the Jews were very concerned, and they weren't sure how they're going to stop this priest from pulling out his magical powers on all the Jews in the neighborhood and killing all of them. So he was very concerned. So basically, they went to the Tsar, I mean, the whatever it was, the governor. I'm not sure who it was at the time. Let's call him the governor. Just for argument's sake, it's easier. So they called him. They went to the governor and they told him what's going on. They told him they're concerned. So he says, "Listen, I'm also scared of him. He has magical powers. He's going to take me over as well." So he called him in. They made a whole negotiation, and finally they decided. The priest said he's going to stop doing his kishuf as long as the Jews are willing to have a debate with him in public. And he said, "If I win the debate, a magical debate. If I win the debate, then I get to kill all the Jews. If I lose the debate, they can all kill me in front of everyone." Fine. So they were very nervous. All the Talmidei Chachamim went home, and that night, all the Talmidei Chacham universally had a dream. And the dream, they all heard that, this is a story quoted in the Elia Rabbah. It's not a fairy tale. So this dream, they all said, they were all told the same exact message, and that was that you should not try to find a Jew who has magical powers to fight against the priest. You should find someone who has Koichas HaKadusha to fight against the priest. So they were asking around in the dream, who should it be, who should it be? So no one knew what to do. Finally, the dream came back to them the next night and said, you're not going to find anyone in this neighborhood, you're not going to find anyone in all of Europe, you're not going to find anyone in Eretz Yisrael. You have to go to the other side of the Sambatyon River and find one of the B'nai Moshe Rabbeinu who's living out there behind the Sambatyon River, and he's the one who's going to save you. No. How are we supposed to get to the Sambatyon? Who ever heard of that? Who knows Moshe Rabbeinu's children? So the dream also tells them that you should send the biggest tzaddik. And you should also know that the Sambatyon River spits out rocks and fires all the time. It's impossible to get through, and only Shabbos it stops. So telling him this crazy thing. So how are you supposed to get there? So they all decided that the biggest tzaddik, this Rameir Rav Yitzchak, who is the Baal HaKdamos, is going to be the one to go and find the Sambatyon River and bring back the son of Moshe Rabbeinu to save this Jewish community in Worms. Fine, so he goes on his way. They have a whole entourage, brings him out of the community. Three Talmidei Chacham decide they're going to travel with him. They bring him food and they give him money for his trip. And he travels to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, they tell him how he should get to the Sambatyon River, which I think is somewhere in Africa, they say. So he gets there with these three Talmidei Chacham, and he's standing by the river and watching how the river is spitting out fires and rocks and everything. He says, no way I can cross. But they told us in the dream, the Shabbos, the river stops. But Shabbos, you're not allowed to swim. So then he says, oh, it's Pikuach Nefesh. Fine, so he's going back and forth. Finally, Shabbos comes, and he decides he's going to go. It's Pikuach Nefesh, but he tells the three Talmidei Chachamim, it's only Pikuach Nefesh for one of us to go. You three should stay here, and I'll go across. So he goes across, and they write a whole dramatic story how when he gets there, the Talmidei Chacham of the city Sambatyon arrest him, because they said, he's Machal Shabbos. Who is this Yid over here who has been Machal Shabbos? He's swimming across the ocean. What's going on? They arrest him, and he's screaming and yelling. Finally, he convinces them that they should allow him to explain his story. He explains himself that it's a Pikuach Nefashos. Fine, so they all decide, in that community, they're going to send this person by the name of Rabdan to go save the city of Worms. So Rabdan tells this Rameir, Rab Yitzchak, that I'm sorry to tell you the bad news, it's still Shabbos. And for me, it's Pikuach Nefashos to go back, because I'm the one who's going to save the whole community, but you're stuck. You did your job, and you can't cross through again because it's Shabbos. There's no Heter Pikuach Nefashos now for you. I'll do the job on my own. I don't need you. But now you're stuck here, so give me some parting words that you would like me to tell your community and your family, because you're going to be stuck here for the rest of your life, because during the week you can't get through.
He can't get back either. The other guy.
He can't get back either. He said, I'm giving up my life and you're giving up your life. That's it. We're going to do it for the sake of Klal Yisrael. It's a wild story. So basically this is what happens. And they walk together to the river, and he says goodbye and good luck, and he gives him his final send-off message and his take-home message that he wants him to tell his whole family. And he goes back, and then they explain the whole story, how they had the debate, and Rabdan won, and it was a miraculous story, and all of a sudden Eish Menashe Mayim comes down and burns up the priest in front of everyone. Okay, he won the debate. Very nice. So that was right before Shavuos. And Rabdan gets up on Shavuos, and he speaks to the whole community on the first day of Shavuos, and he says to them, I just want you to know that your Heilig Tzadik Reb Meir, who you sent to go get me, is stuck behind the Sambatyon River, and he's never going to be able to come back, because as we know, the Sambatyon River is a dangerous place, and you can only cross on Shabbos, but he has no Heter, so he's stuck. And I want you to know that since you're never going to have Chizik from him again, He left me messages that you should all realize how special the Jewish people are, and how amazing you are, and how lucky you are, what a relationship you have with the Ribbono Shel'olam. And on our way out of the town, Sambatyon, on the way out, when he was welcoming me out and saying his final goodbyes, he made up this piyut, this pizmon, that I should now say over to you, so that you'll always remember the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And he said you should say it on Shavuos, because this is the time when we have a rendezvous, so to speak, with the Ribbono Shel'olam. So he said that to memorialize and to always make sure that we remember Meir Reb Yitzchak, who lived in this town, we should say this piyut on Shavuos. And that was the original story of how the Akdamos was made up. It was something that was composed in the Sambatyon River, and it's something that in his own community he never even had the schus to say. It's something that the messenger, Reb Dan, said over Bishmo and sang on the first day of Shavuot. So that's just a little bit about the Akdamas that we're going to read. Now maybe we'll stay up this year, because now that we know this background.
Do you think Rameir's wife believed the story? The husband didn't come back?
Well, they say like another detail to the story that they made another detail to the story that they married each other's daughters. Why couldn't they give a get? Because it was Shabbos, right? So it got into the problem. It's their swimming. It's a gzeira.
It's coming also, maybe.
It's not also there. It's also there. Abanon, no.
Swimming is
that they wouldn't be able to, because with the abanon, he wasn't able to do, wasn't able to return.
Why should you be allowed to? It's an issur der abanon. It's a gzeira. Anyway, so that's just a couple of words about Akdamos.